let's all sing that together, because
we live. I can see you tomorrow, because he lives. All fear is gone, because I know he holds a future, and life is worth a living God, because he lives.
Amen. Let's just stand and sing that together. Let the Spirit of God move upon your life. Just shut yourself away with Him again this morning and just let that wonderful anointing of God come. Scripture says the day would come when His burden would be taken from off our shoulder and the yoke from off our neck, and the yoke would be destroyed because of the anointing. Oh, hallelujah. And that wonderful anointing of God comes, and it destroys the yoke, and it makes us free. Oh, praise His wonderful name. Sing that together. Just blend your voices together in song. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Praise His name. Because He wonderful healing virtue of Jesus come down as rain upon your whole being and make you every whit whole. The Spirit of God is moving. I am so thankful that the Spirit of God is moving in all of the earth. He is indeed pouring out His Spirit in these last days upon all flesh. We are beholding and standing on the threshold of the day when God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. I'm thankful for this day. I'm thankful to God to be living in this day. I'm thankful that we have been called to the kingdom for such an hour as this. Oh, wonderful thing. In the midst of all the turmoil that's everywhere, the confusion, the unrest, that God can take out a people and call them to the kingdom for such an hour as this. Oh, how thankful you should be. How thankful you should be that you can be here. That you can be standing in His wonderful presence. That you should be a picked representative, a chosen member to stand in the great family of God in such an hour as this. Oh, hallelujah. I suppose it's the most terrible hour that men have lived in. Hour when there's such terrible dilemma everywhere. Wars and rumors of wars, famines and earthquakes and pestilence and sorrows everywhere. People seem to be just all so rampant with sickness. But all saints of God, you are gathering together unto Him and you've been called to His kingdom for such an hour as this. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
doth seek out the faithful of the land, that shall believe with all their hearts, that shall not say that these things are not possible, but they shall say all things are possible.
Amen.
Yea, they shall say, come, let us enter into the land that bloweth with milk and honey. They shall not bring forth an evil report, but a good report, and shall inspire the hearts of God's people, that they shall march forward and possess the land, say the Lord thy God. Yea, my heart is grieved when my people do not believe. Yea, for they shall perish in the wilderness. But yea, be thou strong in faith, saith the Lord. For whatever I have spoken unto thee, my words are yea and amen, and so it shall be. Yea, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Stand upon their feet, let us exceed.
Jesus. He became the very life of God of the world.
The Holy
and
God
shall become the life of the world.
Thank you.
my God, my people. And yea, listen attentively even to his voice, the Almighty.
Yes.
For yea, I do send to thee this day. Let not unbelief dwell among thee. For yea, I do send to thee, yea, it was because of unbelief, yea, that the children of Israel marched around the promised land. But yea, I do send to thee this day, if thou wilt believe what I do send to thee, yea, thou shalt enter, yea, from death into life, saith the Almighty. For yea, I do send to thee, death no longer reign over thee, yea, neither sickness, yea, I do send to thee, there belongeth unto those that are the evil ones. For yea, thy God hath reigned in thee, and yea, thy God is full of life, and yea, even as the Lord thy God is full of life, yea, he too hath life, saith the Almighty. Trust in the Lord, this day I say, yea, trust in the Lord thy God, and yea, lean not on thine own understanding, but yea, open up your hearts, I say, and open up your ears, and listen unto my voice, for yea, I do send to thee, I did say that yea, I have a price for thee, but yea, thee must walk humbly before me, yea, with a pure heart, yea, a heart full of belief, yea, a heart full of love, and yea, I shall fill your heart and your whole entire being with my life.
Down there, and then we got clapping, and it kind of went away from me. And then this scripture came to me that I would like to read to you. You can sit down just for a moment. The thing that struck me was this while we were singing and worshiping, that this is the day of the restoration. This is the time when God is going to bring back to his people all those things that have been lost. And somehow this morning is the great beginning of that. In Joel, the first chapter, it says, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, ye old men, and give ear, all ye inhabitants of the land. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten, and that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. There's been utter desolation. And there has been utter desolation in the realm of the Spirit upon this earth. There's been a dearth, but God has been bringing these things back. And we are now in that time, I believe with all my heart, when God is going to begin to restore many things to us that we haven't had, that we've had access to, but somehow haven't been able to lay hold of. But this morning, I believe with all my heart, is the beginning of a great and wonderful new day when God is going to begin to restore many things that we have lost. And I just, excuse me, Brother Holt, just for a minute. Over in the second chapter of Joel, I'm just going to read a few verses here, starting at the 21st verse. I think this is the... He said, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former and the latter rain, in the first month, and the floor shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you, hallelujah, the years that the locust hath eaten.
Allow me to take it. You'll be hearing from him. I would prefer, no doubt, to see more of the other men minister, but there's been something very heavy on my heart because of people that are sick, and a brother that has been struggling with his infirmity for some time. The little blind girl that is here, I don't know whether she's in the meeting this morning, is she? Oh, good, just so long as you can hear clear what I'm saying to you. Because this is the day of miracles. But you don't rejoice because of miracles, as Jesus said. You rejoice because your name is recorded in those eternal records. That's going to mean more to me when I get over there to see that that's properly recorded the way it should be, and that I belong to that tremendous family of God. I think possibly the most misunderstood person of the world is the Holy Spirit. And you must learn to become acquainted with his operation in your life. Many times people go around, they feel they're depressed, and they're not aware that it could be the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit deals with your emotions. Oftentimes there's a saying that goes out, I don't go by my feelings, I go by my faith. That's a lot of nonsense. I'm telling you right off, you go by your feelings, because feelings and faith all work harmonious. You can't separate them. There is no way to separate your feelings from your faith, and you better believe that. You have to establish just the grounds on which you are believing. I constantly check my feelings concerning the moving of the Holy Spirit. What makes you hesitant whether you should come to the platform or not? You just don't feel you should come, or something like that. It's the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit influences your feelings. If he wants you to intercede, he will put such burden and such weight upon you, he's putting it upon your feelings. And he will make you agonize. Jesus cried and agonized like no man ever agonized. He was so distressed. The emotions of his body were so distressed, he ruptured the blood vessels. Praying high did the very same thing. He enlarged his heart because he was a great intercessor. And when he died, it was much larger than it should have been. And so you guard against these kind of slogans that people have, as though they're going to step right out into the dark. And with nothing under them at all, you just might as well step right off that San Francisco bridge, and you'll have just about as much footing under you when you step off the bridge as you have when you step out in the dark, not knowing where you're going. When you step out by faith, you know where you're going. You know what you're doing. And you have a strong confidence in something that the Almighty has said. And that is why it is very, very essential when you're prayed for that you don't get carried along by the tremendous impact of the Spirit. Because once you get carried away with that, and then you go home and you come to the place of conflict, you wonder why you're going into maybe there's a settling of the Spirit. And that is where the knowledge that you need concerning your healing, That's what you need. That's where your faith comes in. I will not talk about the gift of faith. I may mix it up because of its relationship. But I will try by the grace of God to refrain from that and stay exclusively to the faith that is general in you all. Because there is quite a difference in the operation of a spiritual gift of faith and the normal gift that you have. Everybody has faith. You do it. You use it in different directions. The men of the world have faith. They have it in the wrong place. People have oftentimes faith in reverse. They allow fear to grip them that something's going to happen to their family. And so they set in motion a faith that will destroy them. And therefore, you need to get your faith right well placed on the Almighty and what He has said. And so today I believe this is a day of miracles, and I anticipate things happening when the brethren pray for the sick. And I would like, by the grace of God and the help of the Spirit of God, to set something in your hearts so you will never waver. I shouldn't say you'll never waver, because I waver myself, but I know how to fortify myself. There are times when my heart is very, very low. And there's only one, I have found certain ways how to strengthen that. And that's what it means, stirring up the gift that is in you, which was given you by the laying on of the hand of the presbytery. And you can stir up the gift of faith, and it's not hard to stir it up, but it takes effort. You have to put time on it. If you have a strong gift of faith in you, and you want to strengthen your faith, you've got to throw away a lot of trash that you may be reading. You may read a lot of trash that's exaggerated. And therefore, you must find the material that you can read that has an effect on your own heart. Because I will strengthen your faith this morning when I talk to you. That's my purpose in being here. I'm not here because it's my turn to speak, for it's not my turn to speak. I took the floor away from Brother Wiley. He consented. And I appreciated him, because in my heart there's a very heavy weight that I would like to unload this morning concerning your confidence in God. Many people wrestle against all kinds of varied infirmities. They will never lay them down and exchange them for the things of the Spirit. If you have a jealousy that comes into your heart, you can lay jealousy down. You can lay it down. You might not get rid of it the first time, but you must empty yourself. This glass can only hold so much water. It is full now. And therefore, to get any more in that, I must remove some of it. I must put it back. If you want to get rid of jealousy, you kneel before God and point it out specifically, your problem. And then say, I am going to lay it down. And I want you to fill that emptiness, that when I lay jealousy down, I want to be rid of it. You may not remove it the first time or the second time, but you deliberately lay it down. Don't tell God, oh God, I'm a jealous person. I wish I wasn't jealous. You'll never get rid of it. Not in 1,000 years of that kind of praying. You must deliberately set it to one side. Once you deliberately set to one side, even though you have a lot of misgivings, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. This individual I mentioned to you that I believe is so sorely treated. He will come along recognizing your infirmities, because He's given you a whole chapter practically that deals with people with infirmities. For you don't know how to pray as you ought to pray. So He comes along to assist in this manner. You have to give Him opportunity. You must give Him opportunity, or you'll carry your sicknesses away and you'll carry your infirmities away with you. You must give Him opportunity to remove that jealousy. If you are one that loves preeminence, and preeminence is on the possibly on one of the highest steps of pride, you have to lay it down. Jesus came came as the Son of God, and he made himself of no reputation. And he lowered himself still lower than that until he took our sins and sicknesses upon himself, going to death. So if you want to get rid of that particular thing, you must identify it in yourself, then have a good talk with God. You say to God, oh, why does God, when he knows all these things, why doesn't he get rid of it? He has so designed it. Everything that you receive from God comes through his Son, Jesus. If you're not saved this morning, it's because you've never asked him to save you. That's the only reason you're not unsaved. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's because you've never asked him and believe for that he will give it to you. But you must ask him, for he has specified this is the way he wants it. Just as much as if you came to my house and you saw on the dresser in my room there several things and you helped yourself, that would not be right. Even if you were my son or my daughter, I require that they ask me for those things. I wouldn't go over to Brother Livingston and take his shovel and his hoe and things like that without asking him. No doubt he'd give them to me if I wanted them. But it's required of me to ask him. And it is required of you to ask God for things that you need. I think you can set in motion many things that are very beneficial. And I'm going to tell you something that I think you should set in motion. You should revamp your giving. You should take a new look at your giving in this affluent time. It is required of you to tithe. But I think if you're a little nervous of anything that is coming upon the earth, if you want to establish yourself a little more surely, I would watch and I would tithe systematically, and then I would give systematically, maybe in the same proportion. Now, I'm not a bit interested how much you put into the coffers. I am interested that you gain a stability. I was just checking the other day the promises of God concerning tithing. I went over quite a bit of it. And I have found this, that God has obligated himself in many ways to return in such a proportion that I won't have room enough to receive it. Now, should I have any worries in case there's a recession? No, because the obligation is no longer on my part. The obligation is on his part. I can trust that. It is possible for my heart to embrace that. My heart has embraced that for over 40 years. My heart embraced that before I was converted. And it has never wavered concerning that thing. I have taken losses, but I have also had gains. The losses made me wake up a little bit from my stupor and made me aware of some things that I was becoming indolent. But nevertheless, the blessing has remained there, and it has fallen not only upon me, but it has fallen upon my family, like it said it would, and it is supposed to do that thing. The righteous people can allow the blessings of God to spill over. But you must be conscious of their spilling over. And if the enemy is buffeting you, he may be trespassing. And you've got to be keen and to know when he is trespassing. Just like when you're prayed for this morning, or whenever the brethren feel to pray for you, when you're being prayed for and you have grounds that you know you can receive the very thing that God has said, you are supposed to receive it. Don't get the idea that healing is beneficial to your spiritual life. Then sin would be beneficial. If I want to know the beauties of virginity, then let me engage in adultery. It's a lot of nonsense. The fall plunged us into utter darkness. And you better believe that Jesus healed all that came unto him. I can read it for you. This book has got to be a lie if that is not the truth. And when Jesus was come to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid sick of the fever. And he touched her hand, and fever left her. And she arose and ministered unto them. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed of devils, and he cast out the spirit, cast them out the spirits by his word, and he healed all that were sick. That, now here, this thing hadn't happened, but Jesus was doing it in a phenomenal way. He said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities. And bear all of our diseases. Now I'm going to, really I should deal with the acts of the Holy Spirit to just show you how he works, but I'm going to jump over and deal with just some of the elementaries here of how to receive from God. In James 5 and 14, I'll use that just as the basis of the teaching that I want to give you this morning. James 5, 14, you all know it, if I can find where James has got himself. Now here is something that you that are sick can do. I know you've done it many, many times. But I'm telling you, in 1972, I took one of the worst lickings of my life financially. And God has made specific promises to me. And I have watched him fulfill them. And it is not all completed as yet. But day by day and month by month, he has turned around and stood with his promises concerning what he had said. He has done it. I am in a far better position than I dreamed that I could possibly be. But I must give him all the credit because all these things come through him. Now he says, is any sick? Is any among you afflicted? Where am I here? 5:14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he hath committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. In that particular statement of God, there's everything that you need for your healing. Now, a passage of Scripture was quoted the other day about where two of you agree on touching anything, it shall be done. There are certain things that I would like to stress here. It is absolutely essential that when you pray over people, you carry that measure of anointing as you minister. You cannot deal with cold facts just like that. You must carry that anointing of the Spirit. You must be conscious that this is what the Holy Spirit wants, and that he will administer this thing. And so the anointing must be on you that minister it. You must wait upon God so that anointing rests on you. You should be conscious that the anointing is in your life and flowing there through you. And you can be conscious of that. And when you're coming to be prayed for, you should be conscious in your heart that when they lay hands upon you, you are going to receive of that Holy Spirit. And that you have acted upon something that God has said. It is not your idea. And it has nothing to do with how soon this thing happens. It may happen very suddenly. And it may not. But that doesn't make any difference. It's the fact that God has said it that makes the difference. And when you come for a certain thing, you must be positive in your heart that healing is for you. And that God has said that healing is for you. It's specifically for you. And once hands have been laid upon you, or anointing oil has been prayed over you, then you should start to look for that new day to appear. You should look for things to happen in your body that never showed up before. You don't say, oh, I don't feel any better. That reverses the whole situation. It has nothing to do. You are looking for a change according to what God has said. And that starts to put a fiber in you. And so, if it takes a day, if it takes 2 days, if it takes a week, what is that? Brother Merv mentioned about that man that lay at the platform there. And when we prayed for him, he seemed so adamant. He didn't seem to be able to understand and to get this. And that man never went home at night. He lay on that mattress all night long there. They just changed his clothes and he slept there all night long when the meeting were over. He was too sick to move. But after about the fourth day, I think it was, and the meetings were over, somehow or other, it dawned upon him, must have dawned upon him what had been said. Because Jesus said had the very same condition happened to him. But he said something that I had never even thought of saying. He said to the man, take up your bed and walk. That's what that man needed to do, was to take up his bed and walk around the tabernacle. He could never have walked around it, there's too many people in it. But he could have walked outside somewhere. And that is the thing that Jesus wants to this morning, is for you to act upon what he has said. It is very important. Like I said to you, if you want to get rid of things in your life, you must act upon it. If you got a bad temper, don't say your dad passed it on to you, or your mother passed it on to you, or conditions always do this and do that. You are responsible to do something about the temper. You are responsible to lay it down there and let the Holy Spirit, the greater administrator of grace, remove it from your life. It'll just damn you. It's up to you to do that. It's not for you to give somebody a piece of your mind and then say, oh God, I'm sorry I gave him a piece of my mind. And then with no intention of repenting, that's downright wickedness. You have to have that purpose in your mind to get rid of that. So the Holy Spirit has opportunity to do something within you. The same way when it comes to healing. And so if you are being prayed for this morning, and the prayer of faith, it can flow right from you just as easy as it can from the one that administers it. You can say right along with the man that's making the petition, you can pray that prayer of faith. Every one of you can pray the prayer of faith. There's no mystery to praying the prayer of faith. You just do exactly what the scriptures say. You base your trust and your confidence in something that God has said. And once you do that, then you stand very, very still. If your heart gets a little wavery, then you retreat to your bedroom and stabilize your position. Don't start charging God foolishly. Don't start saying silly things to God and silly things to people. Don't do something like this if you come up to be prayed for. Say, have this in the back of your mind. When after the brethren pray for me, if nothing happens, I'm going to have surgery. You might as well forget coming to be prayed for, because you've defeated yourself right off. But if you have a purpose in your heart that this thing is going to change in you, it will change just as sure as you're an inch high. It will happen to you. I remember one occasion when we were away. This woman had multiple cirrhosis, and I never saw a face that was so distorted. She just seemed to be in such utter agony. The deep frowns in her forehead were like a V, and her mouth was sagged away down at the corners. She looked a terrible picture of despair. She sat a long ways back in the church, and when I mean that, there's no aisles to walk down. But we saw her dilemma, and we called her to the platform. And they helped her to come to the platform. That was quite an ordeal, because they had to bear her up in their arms and they had to help her get along because she was so badly deteriorated. When she came to the platform, they held her there. Prayer was made over her. And then she was told, all right, now you walk back to where you came from. I'm sure they must have thought that was a silly thing to say. But she... they freed her. I thank God that they freed her. She'd have fallen on her face normally, but she stood there, and after a while she turned around after kind of a little bit of juggling, and she walked off the platform and back to where she came from. And when we left her, she had regained a smile, and there was a happiness on her face, and she had still a little something wrong with her left arm. I noticed that she needed added help there. But it'll be very good for her to struggle and keep presenting that to God and say, God, you made my legs work. You made my knees work. You've changed other things in my body. I am holding on for the other change. That'll strengthen you. You wrestle it out. That'll do you a lot of good. Amen. Don't worry about a little thing. Don't start saying, oh God, you didn't do this. You didn't make a good job of it. You forget all of that. You start to praise Him and thank Him for these things. And you'll watch the recovery come. You will watch it. It'll come. It's bound to come. You must receive the thing that you pray for. You must receive it. For if you're sick or anyone afflicted among you, it tells you what to do. You do it. You'll feel right now while I talk to you, you'll feel the confidence coming in your heart. You can't help but do that. Because it is a part of a ministry. I know whereof I speak concerning this. I've wrestled through these problems night and day. I know what it is when the Holy Spirit starts to influence me for prayer. A great heaviness will come upon my body or my spirit. I don't really feel too good about talking to people. I may appear sullen sometimes, but in my heart I'm not sullen. In my heart there's a heaviness and a weight. Now, there's only one place that there's a satisfying portion for it. And that's when I bow my knee and I can start to talk to God. I don't know any other solace. I only told Him this morning, what would life be without Him? All that I have gained through His Son. My life, my home, everything, being in this company this morning, I have gained it through the Son. I could never have got it without Him. I am well today because of His Son. I received the life come into my body when I was sick because of the Son. Everything I have got has come to me through that channel. So well, there's no place for me to turn but to Him. And I poured out my heart to Him early this morning concerning, and I said, oh Father, if I could put within the hearts of people such a confidence, if I could do this by the grace of God for the blind and the crippled and the lame, that you will believe what He has said. All of healing He carried. He literally took all of your sins and He carried it away. What you have is some simulation of the enemy that wants to hold you in his bondage and hold you in his throes. But He carried your sicknesses away. And then He did something more wonderful than that. He gave you agents of the reconciliation. Agents of that tremendous work of grace. And something greater than that, He has given you the Holy Spirit. When there is nobody near you, He will come in close and He'll start to make the real to you the great plan of redemption. Oh, you can never, never find anyone that can come as close to you as the Holy Spirit. Nobody can influence you like the Holy Spirit. You've got to treat Him like a person. You can snub Him and He'll be grieved and you'll feel the emptiness come in your heart. You can talk boldly to people out of your head and not out of your heart, and you can feel that He has walked away from you, and you can feel that grieving and an emptiness come within you. You can be high behind my way from you and leave you to your stupidity, and then you must bow your knee in utter repentance. He is so tender because he comes right along to help you. You can be at vexed with everybody and you feel that it's legitimate. You had a legitimate right and you've blown your top. But I want you to know this, when you finish blowing your top, you've done something to the Holy Spirit, and he has backed off from you. He's backed away, and you can feel that deep emptiness within you, how you've grieved him. You made great promises to him, and you haven't paid any attention to it. And he backs off on you. You young people, you're in the meeting today, you'll be influenced by the Holy Spirit. And then maybe before the day is over, you'll go out there and you'll do some of your stupid things that young people do, and you'll feel the Spirit of God back away from you. He is doing that to teach you how easily he is grieved, so that you learn to cultivate his presence. That is the purpose of it. He understands your people of infirmities. He understands that. But he wants you to know that he comes alongside of you to fill up all the emptiness and everything that's infirm in you. When you have no faith, you know what he does? He takes the faith of the Son of God and drops it right into your heart. And you wonder where it came from.
Yes, amen.
It's the strangest thing. I can relate experiences where I've been empty and all of a sudden his presence has come. And I hadn't been thinking of it. And he's dropped that faith of the Son of God right into my heart. And then he said, ask for the impossible thing. And in that condition, there's absolutely nothing impossible. I remember one day, it was so vivid, this thing experience came so heavy upon me and I was so elated. That thought of cursing a tree like Jesus did. It came right into my heart to curse a tree and watch it dry up. And I looked at Brother Hunt's weeping willow, and I was just about to say something to it. And then I thought, wouldn't that be a terrible thing to see that tree all withered up in the morning? So Brother Hunt, you're very fortunate that I walked by that night. But it was in my heart, I knew it was there. Strange thing, isn't it? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He can drop it right into your heart. I have seen the time when I felt I never had any faith in my heart at all. And I went to pray for a woman that was dying with cancer in the hospital. And she was flailing the bed like you couldn't believe. She was suffering so much. And her little daughter was sitting on the chair there weeping. And I was so distressed about the state. I tried to pray, and every time I prayed for this woman, words came out in a funny way. They never seemed to be right. They didn't seem to have any authority about them. They weren't phrased right or something. It was just one of those mumble-jumble days. So I went home from the hospital utterly defeated. And when that happens to me, there's only one place I can go. I don't know any other place. So I found a quiet spot and I knelt down and I told God what a dilemma I was in. And I said to him, if anything ever happens to that woman, I must say, Father, I was just so in center field, I didn't know where I was, and I was so sorry that she'd have to carry on in that state. That was about a Wednesday. I wouldn't go back Thursday because I didn't want to see her. I was too down. Friday, I knew I'd have to go, so I went to the hospital to see her. And there she's sitting up in the hall, happy as can be. And she said, see what's happened to me? Completely well. You see, he must have dropped that faith in there when I was in utter despair. He had to do it because I knew I didn't have it. I knew I didn't have it. But he must have put it right in there. So you never know when the Holy Spirit will do that. So learn to entertain him. Learn to let him guide you. And after you're prayed for, learn to listen to his voice. And he will direct you to the things he wants you to know. But know this, you should receive today the very thing that you asked for. The very thing. Don't be persuaded when you ask God for rain, you get nothing but blistering heat. When you ask him to protect your crop from the hail, it comes next day and snows you under. That's a lot of nonsense. Those elements are all in utter disturbance out there. And the one that disturbs the elements is not God. It's the power of the heavens who rules in them. And he has the power to create storms. He has the power to create destruction. and he has given it within the hands of the church to turn storms and to still the waves and to deal with all those tempests. It's within the power of the church to do it. So you see this tremendous thing that God has done for you. You must receive what you want this morning. You must receive. That's what God said. You must receive it. That's what he wanted me to tell you. That if, I'll read it to you because you may not believe it if I say it the way it is. But I'll read it to you. Because once you see it in the scriptures, you've got to believe it. I don't think there's anything more explicit that the Spirit of God could have given us than this. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, he said in the 7th verse, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth." If it doesn't come with the asking, do the seeking. "Unto him that knock it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you who has a son, who if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone?" Will that man stand up here in this meeting this morning? Is there a man here that if your son was in a dire state of hunger and he came to you and he said, "Oh, Father, give me bread. Oh, Mother, give me bread." And for to be kind of some strange individual, it's funny to you. So you hand him a stone. Would that man stand up if there's such a man in the audience that would give his son a stone or a piece of wood if he's dying of hunger? Is there a mother with that kind of feeling? Or a father with that kind of feeling? Well, listen to what he said then. You testify 100% that you're not that way. "Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father?" Oh, don't disgrace him by unbelief, like it was prophesied and told us this morning. Let this little exhortation that I have desired to give this morning with all my heart is satisfied that I have completed what I should say to you. And now, with that which is in your heart, you can believe very, very readily. Will you come and play for us, please? Only believe. That's right. All things are possible if you believe. There is a brother, Seabrook, we want to pray for this morning. Just don't crowd in for a little pains and aches. You should go to your elders for those. But sometimes these others give elders lots of trouble. And we want to help in this general meeting those that are having real difficulties. We want to see those that are in real trouble get the help that they need. Brother Art, you want to come, and those that you want to stand with you, would you stand and we'll just sing this. Just change your position. Glory to God. Glory to God. We'd like Brother Seabrook to come. He's wrestled with a problem in his body for a long time.
Any of the brethren that would like to come and stand with us in the ministry, you just come. Brother Gilbert. gifts of ministries that God has placed in the church is to do one thing, and that is to bring the body of Christ into the unity of the faith. Today, let your faith just be turned loose, and like it was when they brought the man with the palsy to Jesus. Jesus saw their faith, it says. Their faith had a great part in healing this man. It made it so that his faith could be released, so that when Jesus said to him, "Arise, take up your bed and walk," he was able to believe and do it. The faith of these men that brought him, that couldn't bring him in the door, but they took him up under the roof because there was such a crowd, and made an opening there and let him down at the feet of Jesus. Jesus saw their faith, hallelujah. And because of that, this man too realized that when Jesus said, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk," praise God, he did it, hallelujah. I'd like Sister Seabrook to just join us here on the platform, and Brother George's children. They've been praying for him, and I believe that God is going to work a miracle today. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We watched him work miracles in November. We watched Sister Colleen's ears unstopped, and her hearing came. We watched Sister Wendy as she came out of that paralyzed state and walked in just moments. Brother Holt and Brother Smith told you of miracles they saw in Korea. And we have all witnessed miracles. We expect that miracle today. Hallelujah, even while we pray. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
In the Lord shall recover them. Our Father, this day we plead thy word. As he walked the shores of Galilee and stretched forth his hand, he opened their eyes and opens today. In Jesus' name.
Better go.
In the mighty power of the name, Father God, on the feet of that sight, loosen us from every word of sight.
Take the clouds from off the eye of Jesus.
Yes, Jesus. Put on all y'all. Amen. Amen. Bring him into focus, O Lord. Bring him into focus.
Can you see my hand that close to you?
Glory to God.
Can you see my hand go by your face at all? Come into her heart. She has mixed feelings concerning whether she wants sight or not. She said if you want to give her sight, she wants sight.
Yeah.
But you said what things soever she desires, when she would ask you that she believes that she received them, that she could have them. Put that strength, O God, of how you feel towards Virginia.
Yes,
you want
amen.
Her to see.
Yeah.
Put in her heart, O God. But let today be a marked day in her life, O God.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes.
Don't let the enemy touch her in any way, shape, or form.
Amen.
Or doubt her.
That's right,
we
Father.
Charge you in the name of Jesus
protect
Christ.
Protect her, Lord.
Leave this woman
amen.
Alone.
Amen.
Protect her.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Protect her from the hand of the enemy.
Looking for the first ray of light.
Okay.
It'll appear. That's right.
It will. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. Shut up, Satan. I'm not listening to you anymore. Okay. Thanks a lot. God bless Father.
She was on crutches, but she did ask for a wheelchair. She needed one, didn't you? You couldn't tell the story. Praise the Lord.
I do want to thank the Lord this morning because I can stand as a living testimony of the healing power of the Lord, our Savior. I went to many doctors and many hospitals. It seemed that there was nothing they could do. Thank God that I knew one.
Yes.
It was more than a match for my condition. The doctor said it was a disorder of the nerves and a disorder of the muscles. At times I felt like I would collapse. It seemed like there was nothing to hold me together. But through the prayers and the faith of God's people, I thank God that I can stand this morning as a living witness of what He can do.
Yes.
If we will only believe, all things are possible. Praise His name.
Hallelujah.
She had been in pain ever since she came. She had an operation and it seems to give her a lot of trouble. And if God doesn't touch her, the doctors want to operate and we're not going to allow that. And she has one deaf ear and God wants to open that too. Praise God. During the November meetings, there was a young woman here. Maybe I don't know if she's in the meeting today, right now or not. She's probably at work. That girl was deaf from her birth. And she could only hear with the aid of two hearing aids. And after she was prayed for, she brought us her hearing aids and she said, I won't need these anymore.
Hallelujah.
And she hasn't.
Jesus.
She told us afterwards, she said another girl and I guess she said we were bad because we were whispering at the back of the meeting. And she says, all of a sudden I realized that I could hear a whisper. And she says, I never could even hear a whisper with my hearing aids. So God does these things. And he's going to do it for Sister this morning. Amen. Praise God.
I pray for my brother who has marvelous ferocious in the hospital for the last 9 months.
We just pray for you.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Our Father, we thank you for the dedication of our dear sister. We thank you for her labors of love in days gone by.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
My Father, she has suffered much, not only with this, but in days of old, she has gone through much. And Lord, through all these things, you have drawn her very close unto yourself. But Lord, here she has come to this camp, suffering pain day by day. And Father, she would love to be active in helping around the grounds and doing the things that need to be done. And yet this pain seems to stand in her way. My Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lay our hands upon you, sister. We impart the anointing of Jesus Christ upon you. The healing virtue shall flow through these hands of his brother and make you every whit whole. In the name of Jesus, may this pain be gone even now and forevermore. May, oh God, no operation of any kind be necessary. For thou wilt make her everywhere whole. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Glory be to God. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Thou spirit of deafness, I rebuke thee in the name of Jesus and cause this ear to open up and be normal. Lord, may there be better hearing even than she has ever known heretofore. Amen. By the virtue of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. These are yours. Hallelujah. They are yours. Praise God. Amen. Because he gave them to you. In the name of Jesus, he gave them to you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let the enemy talk you out of it because they belong to you. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Lord, loosen it from its ties.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Set her free, Lord.
Amen.
And we pray for her arthritis. request in Jesus' name.
Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. She has a testimony of healing. And many years ago, the camp prayed for her, and the elders prayed for her. Well, let her tell you the story.
Glory to God.
Sister McKinnon from Calgary.
I had cancer many years ago, and the Lord healed me completely.
Yes.
Glory to God. I praise Him, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That was in the early 50s, wasn't it?
Yes.
And the doctors gave her up with cancer.
Praise the Lord.
And the Lord healed her.
Amen. Glory to God. Lord is able. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. I believe He'll undertake for your ears.
Yes,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
God has seen the faithfulness of this dear saint of God. And we all together this morning rejoice in what Thou hast done for her.
Amen.
For truly as Thy word has said, we are kept by the power of God. Thou hast kept and preserved this child of Thine all these years. Thou hast healed her body of that dreaded disease. And Thy hand which touched her then shall touch her now.
Yes, amen.
And restore unto her her hearing, Father, that she may hear in a normal way without the aid of this hearing aid.
Praise God. Yes.
That she may give glory to God, that we may all magnify Thy name together. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Sister McKinnon,
amen.
Receive the healing
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And shall deliver thee and set thee free.
Praise
in the
God.
Matchless name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank
amen.
You, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes, amen. I'm going to ask I'm going to ask Brother and Sister Andrews to bring the children that they have with them, and then we will dismiss for dinner after that. And let's just all stay in the spirit of expectancy, believing God. For we know that there are many that desire healing. You receive healing right there in your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the Andrews will come, and we'll pray also for those that are here.
Heavenly Father, we thank You today,
amen, Lord,
for Thy kindness and Thy love towards Thy people.
Amen.
We do thank You for Thy promise that You have said that You would heal those that are sick when we would lay our hands upon them.
Yes,
so now, in Jesus' name, the almighty, matchless, wonderful, beautiful name of Jesus.
Amen.
We commit this life to Thy care, to Thy keeping. We ask Thee, O Lord, that You will take this pain away from her body now.
Yes.
Lord, impart unto her through the laying on of our hands Thy gift of healing for her, O Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Oh, blessed be Thou.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Set her free.
Amen.
In
that direction, praise God. As we go today,
I'm going to change the chorus. Is that all right, Brother Burke? I would like you to sing, "Let Thy Mantle Fall on Me." As you do, I have a strange request. I don't know why this has troubled me all morning. I was talking to my wife before coming to the meeting, and she tells me that the mayor of Prince Albert suddenly passed away, took a heart seizure and died. The mayor of Prince Albert, Mr. Frank Dunn. I'd just like you to remember his family today as we sing this chorus. And those of you especially that have been ministered to, all of us, let that mantle of the Lord rest upon us throughout the hours of the day. If you feel it upon your heart to steal away, dismiss for dinner after that, and let's just all stay in the spirit of expectancy, believing God, for we know that there are many that desire healing. You receive healing right there in your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the Andrews will come, and we'll pray also for those that are here.
Father, we thank you today.
Amen, Lord.
For thy kindness and thy love towards thy people.
Amen.
We do thank you for thy promise that you have said that you would heal those that are sick when we would lay our hands upon them. So now in Jesus' name, the almighty, matchless, wonderful, beautiful name of Jesus.
Amen.
We commit this life to thy care, to thy keeping. We ask thee, O Lord, that you will take this pain away from her body now.
Yes.
Lord, impart unto her through the laying on of our hands thy gift of healing for her, O Lord.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Oh, blessed be thou.
Oh, hallelujah.
Set her free.
Amen.
In that direction, praise God.
As we go today, I'm going to change the chorus. Is that all right, Brother Burke? I would like you to sing, "Let Thy Mantle Fall on Me." As you do, I have a strange request. I don't know why this has troubled me all morning. I was talking to my wife before coming to the meeting, and she tells me that the mayor of Prince Albert suddenly passed away, took a heart seizure and died. The mayor of Prince Albert, Mr. Frank Dunn. I'd just like you to remember his family today as we sing this chorus. And those of you especially that have been ministered to, all of us, let that mantle of the Lord rest upon us throughout the hours of the day. If you feel it upon your heart to steal away,